belong unto you, God. And open our hearts and minds to receive your word, to be challenged, to be instructed in righteousness, God. Help us, Lord, to be willing to receive of you this morning, God, to leave here changed, God, better than the way that we came. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we honor you, God, and consider it such a privilege to be in your house, God, to be in your presence, Lord. Bless us, help us, Lord, as we lift our voice in praise unto you, God. We know that you reciprocate unto us, God. We love you, we praise you, we honor you. Jesus, in your precious name, Jesus, in your wonderful name, in the holy name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was reminded of this really old hymn that is not really common. You can be seated if you want. It's not really common in the Pentecostal church. I don't know. I just went in to read some of the history around this hymn last night. And the guy who wrote this was trained as a lawyer, and he was a poet as well, which this song, every line in it is so packed with meaning. I just love, love this song. And he wrote this song because in his day there was no cure or treatment for depression, and he suffered from depression. And so coming out of one of his bouts of depression, he wrote one of the most beautiful hymns I've ever, ever heard. And if you're not as familiar with this, just keep singing. The meaning is so obviously there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Till I die.
Lord. If you remember this song, sing on the chorus. Hallelujah. You won't see the verses up there.
If I could tell you just what the Lord has done for me, I'd have to tell you I'm not worthy of the blood he shed for me. I'd tell how I was so blind, oh, but he made me to see how he brought me a long way when he gave his life.
Brought you from. Let's stand and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Sure, most of you know where that is. Acts 16:22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded that they beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison was shaken. Immediately the doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Supposing that the prisoners had been fled, and Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Amen. You may be seated. Today we want to cover this thought of how that God will allow us. And I know that it is not anything that a person looks at and says, "Oh boy." But that there is a part of the ministry and a part of the lay people that live for the Lord that have to come to the realization, amen, that God is not going to exempt you from trials and tribulations and persecutions, amen, and all of those things that go on in life, amen, because we are just part of that. He calls us the rain to come upon the just and the unjust, and also the sun is going to shine upon those that are good and those are bad. Amen. If we get a storm in Sandwich, it's not going to fall. That rain is not going to fall just everywhere but our house. Amen. Or our houses. I think we would have great revival if that would happen. A lot of people would probably like that luxury that comes, amen, as far as God is concerned. But just because that we are servants of God, it is very important that we realize that Paul says in one place, I had written down here, it says, "And for all that live godly in Christ Jesus." Everybody say, everybody. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, and he is so emphatic about it, says, shall, amen, suffer persecution. So that is a pretty direct, and it's not just that one scripture long that points out this principle to us, but there are many trials and tribulations and troubles and hurts, amen, of people that would gossip. Sometimes when it comes to people within our community, there are hurts that come from them, and we try to live our life according to the goodness of those people, amen, and yet we know that they also are going to suffer, amen, the loss of a loved one, a sickness in the body, a agitation. A lot of times people in the world, if they find out you're a Christian today, and I want to tell you something, you're living in a day now that I don't know if there's ever been a day like it, because people are very quick to judge you and almost pressure you. They want us to call that which is bad, good, and that which is good, bad. Amen, the scripture tells us. And so you're in a topsy-turvy world right now, and from that, you know, it used to be when I was a kid and I gave my heart to God, everybody said, "Boy, that's great, that's awesome, that's good." Today, it's not always met with that positive attitude. I had a minister here one time sit me down and talk to me about small-town churches. And he says, one of the problems that you have in a community like Sandwich is that there is people that if you start going to church and it gets out, somebody's going to let you know something about it. And it's not usually good. And so there is this affliction that comes, or this trial that comes upon us, because we know what God has given to us. We know what God has done for us. And we need to go through a transition and not rush through it, but to try to build ourselves up to where we can handle anything that comes our way. And that's what God is promising us. Amen. He is the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. And to have our testimony remain true, amen, as far as evangelism goes and things like that. I appreciate the city of Sandwich, because I know Pentecostal churches that have gone through a lot of persecution just through city governments and school governments and things like that. But just about every time that we had something that would come to oppress somebody within the church, the schools would stand behind it and the city would stand behind it and not suffer anything. It worked very good with us. And so right now, Sandwich is a little comfortable, which can be bad. Amen. We don't want to lose, you know, our grip with all that God has given us, thinking, okay, we've arrived in this case. We just need to probably find a way in ourselves to where we can get this gospel to more people. And it might turn the wrong crank. I say this, I talk about the revival of 1987 quite often, but one of the things that was characteristic about that revival is that bars shut down. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, grocery stores switched days. One would go one day and another would go the next. But when it came to places like going to taverns and bars, they were all but shut down, and many of them did. God is defined, amen, in our lives that and directed first that He is, life is God-given. And we have heard that, but we are appreciative of the fact that we know that God is our creator. He is the one that gave us our life. He also is the one that put restrictions and limitations upon how far that society can go. And it's because of that when He addressed the affairs of human life, amen, and those are all issues that we have today, because it seems as if that there is a move against not just children, but, you know, as far as people being allowed to live. Those are all things within God's hands. There are some things God does that His Word will prepare us for. I know one thing I believe that He does oversee when people are raised into positions of high places. And He is there to let them live or let them do well or let them fall. And so God is very much wanting to be within our life, in our community, and in our purpose. Everybody say purpose? Amen. The beauty of God is that God is one that's going to stand behind us, amen, and keep us. And we have to trust that. There will be things that will come against you. And the further as we go into time, the harder it's going to be in our country and in our community and dealing with those in such a way. And so what we want to do is to realize that God has ordained a move. And the greatest influence that we have as a church that comes into this world is the fact that we present to people a message, amen, that is of gospel salvation, amen, that is the true salvation that God instituted, that it would spread into all the world, amen. It's got to have somebody. The fire has to keep going from person to person, amen. I think oftentimes we hope that somebody else can come in and do a trick and just really bless our lives and do that, but it might take a little bit of work. That's just slipped out from the 60s. Was it Maynard that did that? Every time somebody would say work, you go work. And what is our work? What is our purpose? It's once that you come to the knowledge, amen, that Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. And He set His disciples down and explained to them that they were to preach this gospel, amen, to not just every creature, but to the old world. Amen. When this country was developed, it was developed upon the basis of men that were out to discover land. And they were motivated by the scripture that says that that God would not come until all the earth, amen, has heard the gospel preached to them. And so they rushed and they got in boats at the time and tried to spread themselves out in such a way to where they knew that there is a purpose of Christianity. And it is not just to come to church. It's not just to have a nice building. It's not just to kind of go through these things as ritualistic in the world. I was actually impressed this week when I heard that the United Methodist Church, amen, has made a very moral stand against some of the decisions. And I want to tell you something. The Methodist Church was almost the leader at one time of taking people away from the true gospel, away from the Word of God. And my prayer is that somehow God moves in this movement that used to be very holiness-oriented, amen, and revives them and bring them back to the reality. Amen. So I want to tell you something. Still, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. I think that we are well equipped for every fight that comes our way. Amen. Because we have a captain of our salvation that is going to be there to really stand behind us and fight for us. Praise the Lord. And so these things that God knows about us means that He will direct our life. He does set his disciples down and teaches them. He teaches them to go ye therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We know what that means. And then we also know that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Amen. Luke talks to us about waiting in Jerusalem and for this power that is coming from God. And the Lord reminds them that the Holy Ghost, and I'm not afraid to call it Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, amen, but it's something that God wants to work. It's invisible. Amen. I love it when people kind of show. Brother Dave was probably a real giveaway when I was a kid. I don't remember ever going to church and being convicted. I mean, not being convicted of my sin. I was convinced of my sin. I knew I was a sinner. I never told God I didn't want him around. I just told him to leave me alone until I get ready. But that conviction that comes into a life is once you realize that, hey, wait a minute. I am a sinner. Amen. I do bad things. Not all sinners do extremely bad, but you know, it is there. And no matter the magnitude of the person that comes, we know that God is able, amen, to do all things and solve all problems. And what you see in front of you, I want to tell you something, Brother Kellum, I've heard him say a few times, he was not an angel all of his life. Still might not be all the way, but you know, pretty good man, isn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have him in this congregation. And so the Lord put his disciples down, and that's what we try to do as a church, to take those same words without altercation or alteration, amen, of so many things, but to come to the place to where those same words that stood 2,000 years ago still work today. Amen. I think that the apostolic Pentecostal movement is still the greatest force, and it's getting stronger when it comes to other churches. There's a lot of people that are wanting to lay aside anything that is a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They have to excuse themselves because, to be honest with you, some people are bending scriptures, but that's what the Bible said would be there in the last days. Amen. And yet, he's going to work with us in a greater capacity. And so, so oftentimes we will find that suffering happens, amen, to people who actually preach the gospel. There was an old man years ago, and old Brother White in Decatur opened the church and had the church down there. Some of the congregation here knows this story, but Brother White was taken out of a church service and by three thugs, and they beat him and took him to the bridge over the Decatur Lake and threw him over the edge of that bridge just to leave him there to drown. And when they came back, the newspapers found out, and they were having great revival in Decatur, and came out and asked this man, and says, you know what, you tell us what you once said, and we will print it in the paper, because we believe that you ought to have a right to bring down what these men have really tried to do to you. And he says, the only thing I want you to print in the paper is this, that vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. That was his response, and no, there was no meanness, there was no aggravation, but he just says, I'm going to leave this in the hands of God. A man, one of the men, was sitting in his house one night, and his furnace blew up, and his house exploded, and this man went flying out the picture window because he did this to Brother Knight. Then there was another guy that, matter of fact, all three of those men died horrific deaths because God was there to support them. He went through the tribulation. He went through a great trial. He went through a lot of suffering. And we look at suffering as being something bad. We all could use some of it because once we start getting pride in our life and think everything's going to go smooth, God's got to check us. And it will be a check of love. Amen? That I have to love you and care for you and keep you. Amen. And those are things that God gave to us, even though you were there. Our story centers around a story such as that. Paul had come to Philippi. Amen. Had preached the message for a number of days, and God was establishing there. Matter of fact, it was going so well, they were headed toward a prayer meeting by the river. Amen. After his call to leave that land and come over into Macedonia, and of course Philippi being a part of that, amen, was there. One of the major cities of that region, But anyway, there was people there that were really doing all that they can to obstruct. There was a woman there that was, actually the Bible calls her a girl, I believe. And she was one that was moved, and she had the spirit of divination, and that means that she was actually directed by a spiritual power. Amen. And she would follow the disciples. If I can bring this statement out here real quick. And let me see. I guess I'm going to have to, too many words here, too much. But anyway, she was one that had this gift, and it would kind of tell people, you know, what they're doing and where they're going and what's happening in their lives, and said, well, these are servants of the Most High, and they bring to us the word of salvation. Now, there's nothing really wrong with that doctrine or that occasion, and it happened, and she says it again. Man, the devil sometimes wants to fool us. Amen. He wants to work into a church through somebody and really try to complicate and lead us astray in our lives. And this little girl, as she was saying that, the Lord calls Paul to turn and rebuked her, and the spirit came out of her. And with this, there was a lot of things that was happening that would lead us down, and we find that Paul and Silas, instead of going to a prayer meeting, ended up going to jail. Man. And he wasn't the first to ever do that. But on his way there, you know, we find that, you know, he and Paul and Silas are both thrown into prison. And they got there just really feeling down in the dumps. And I want to tell you something, probably some of the greatest gospel songs that ever written were written about a trial. You know, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. Amen. One man that had a church, and somebody burnt his church down. And when he, Hawkins, wasn't it, Edwin Hawkins? He came and people called him to say the church was on fire. He came down to survey. He says, if I catch whoever did this, I'm going to kill him. And one of his saints was standing right next to him. Says, I've got a long way to go to be like the Lord. Amen. And I've never been ridiculed. I've never been afflicted in these ways. And yet there was something that God came to me. And sometimes through an error like that, God just speaks to us and humbles us. Amen. If not God, at least a good old woman saint. Amen. They can always tell you. Praise the Lord. We are in a good, good, good place. Amen. And so they take Paul, and of course, noting that, of course, they tell this jailer, the poor guy, when he comes and says, if he gets out of prison, you're dead. That's Brother Davis's paraphrase. Amen. And so they take him, and he is so, you know, evidently that they had an old morgue type thing or a hole there that they could put somebody in. And then they put the chains on him, or not so much on the hands, but on the feet. It's called that inner prison that was there. It would be the hardest place. Nobody is supposed to escape from there. And so here they are. They're in a cold, damp prison. They have just been beaten. They have just been thrown into this terrible place and terrible environment. Amen. And as they're there just trying to work their way through it, we know that Paul and Silas decided, let's just pray. Sing a couple songs. Amen. And so they begin to pray. And apostolic prayer, you'll come to find out, is not always quiet prayer. Hallelujah. And sometimes our singing is not quiet singing. Amen. It has a purpose, because it just is, there's something there that is empowering us Amen. And we know that worship is a tool that God uses to stir us and to make us positive-minded instead of being negative-minded, and knowing that there's still a God. And even though it's cold, amen, that my God still exists. And so all of a sudden, about midnight, the earth begins to open. And the doors begin to open. And the shackles of the feet came off. Amen. And the man that was ahead of that house, when he saw that all the doors were open, amen, and all the chains were loosed, amen, that Paul and Silas was there, he came in with a light and says, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Amen. And Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Amen. And as he repeats that to the jailer wanted to do that. He said, "Brother Davis, he just told them all you got to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And I tell you, if as long as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But just because you say, "I believe," amen, and I'm sure the jailer found out because they went down through this process, you know. He was about ready to kill himself. Why? Because he was told and instructed. Suicidal over a little prayer meeting and worship. And he knew that something was wrong. As a matter of fact, I think it would be quite convincing to me that if I was in that earthquake and nobody got hurt and debris was falling and big iron gates were being loosed, amen, and shackles falling off feet, and men coming out of there, you know, just thinking what kind of I just kind of have this own little personal opinion. I have really doubt and so he had a good crowd that was there. Now that's just Brother Davis. That is not, if it comes another way and you have divine revelation, that was not divine revelation. That was just my imagination. Amen. And so when it was there, he takes this man, amen, and begins to, now, and the Bible says this, that in the part of preaching the gospel, when the Lord spake to Ananias concerning Saul of Tarsus, he said that he would show him great things, amen, that was going to happen. And as he was converted, that did happen. And this is one of those miracles, amen, that causes men to be astounded. And so if I can find the words here real quickly, it says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open, and every man's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, walking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew the sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried out with a loud voice, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'" And I guess it does get pretty exact, doesn't it? "And then he called for the light, and he sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, 'Sir, what must I do to be saved?' And they tell him this, and this was simply because this man was ready to kill himself. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They told him this, 'And thou shalt be saved in thy house.'" Amen. I'm sure that there is some way. I think that the lesson kind of breaks it off right there. But I think the good part was, and this Philippian, in the same hour, was baptized. Amen. And he and his household, again, it doesn't come to the place to where God is out. We really need to just believe that God can send us households. Amen. Families at a time. Amen. When mom and dad can raise their children right, or brothers and sisters can sit down together, and it becomes a place to where we really come to God. And that really is when churches I think in a lot of the revivals that I was a part of in the younger years is that you would see families. Brother and Sister Span, amen, came here with their whole family and became a part of that revival that I first preached in Sandwich. Sister Doris back there, one that says, oh, you'll never see me worship like that and do some of those things. And when God filled her with the Holy Ghost, my favorite story is she was rolling underneath these pews, amen, and the seats, and she was down on the floor doing something that she didn't think God would do. But you know what? Her family got baptized, and they came with her to church. Praise the Lord. Come on. And so what happens, that even though that we are preaching the gospel, amen, we come to the realization that God, amen, is still going to allow some persecution to come our way. And the church has come from some persecution from people on the outside, not great damage or anything like that. I do remember one time that we had a, you never believe this, it was a boyfriend-girlfriend situation, and we didn't really push for the charges, but somebody threw a rock through one of our stained glass windows because they didn't like the fact that this girl was coming to church. You know? And so it can happen today. You know, to where people will try to maybe cause damage to us and do things. And you say, well, Brother Davis, but we want to guard our spirit to that because Jesus said it would be that way. That all that live godly, amen. There are some people that claim to live for God godly, but they don't obey the scriptures. They don't obey the word, amen. I don't think that they get to see some of these things. And they think automatically because I go to church, these things are going to happen. Not necessarily. And if it does come, Brother Davis, God has promised us that he would deliver us. Amen. And that he's going to take care of us. And he will bring nothing against us, you know, that we'll have to worry about. And if it does, I mean, I tell people all the time, the worst it can do is kill me. And that's going to happen in a couple of years or a few years down the road anyway. I hope to about maybe 85 or 90. As long as my bones don't start aching to where I can't move. And then I'll probably be praying, God, come on and get me. We know that Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Old Testament prophecy that lets us know that there was somebody that's going to come to minister to us that's going to go through a whole lot of suffering. I don't know if there was ever a man that could be suffer more in such a short time in his life than what Jesus Christ did for our sins. Amen. Every ounce of blood that came from him, every wound that was placed upon his body, it had a purpose: salvation, healing, deliverance. Amen. Being our God, being faithful. And so the Lord wants to let us know that, yeah, you're going to go through heartache and you're going to go through tribulation. And you're going to go through suffering, and you're going to suffer these in some of these great towns. But on the same token, God is saying, that is just what it takes. I'm not here to live for Jesus Christ, you know, just saying, I never want to suffer. I don't strongly desire it just in the physical world, but I don't believe that God's going to send anything against us. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes that we fail to realize, you know, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. I remember Brother French preaching here one service, and he was preaching for us, and his son was going through this heart condition, and it looked like that he was not going to make it, and they were going and running to hospital and in and out of hospitals, and Brother French was a great preacher, a great teacher, a great book writer, a great leader today, and has really kind of been elevated to a place to where he's been very great, greatly respected within the ministry. Amen. And because of that, people would say, you know, it could have all gone awry if somewhere along the line they'd given up on God and hope in God. And the child was healed and has done great. As a matter of fact, I think he's in the ministry now. And so see, God is, he's going to allow things to come to us. It doesn't mean that God hates you. It just means that God is going to try you. And the trial comes for yourself. It's not God is trying to make us suffer, but God is wanting you to come to realize that because somebody tells a lie on you, or somebody walks on your field, God forbid that they take you outside and give you a good beating, amen, and because that they hated you, but that could possibly happen. You go to many foreign fields today in our lands, and people that live for God and Jesus Christ. Brother Hal one time was here telling us a story. Walking to church, hanging on his arms. I said, you know what? She needs to be hanging on my arm, not that arm. Boy, I tell you what, you take a few years in El Salvador, Brother Hal was on fire, and when I say fire, not in a good way, he was just under a lot of oppression. And coming from my hometown, saved in the same revival, he gives this plug also. Matter of fact, he was at, we've got to see it, at Sherry's church, where they go to Pentecostals in Cooper City, because he was there preaching, didn't realize that Sheriff was my daughter, until he realized that, hey, that looks just like Sister Davis, you know? And come to find out, he had to apologize right there because he didn't realize that that was there. But Brother Hal, a couple stories that came from there. Having great revival in El Salvador. El Salvador was a very war-torn country. Amen. And the Sandinistas was everywhere. That even sounds scary. Machine guns and just shot in the windows of the church. And did a lot of damage, but nobody killed. But they did find a dress on a young girl that was shredded by gun wounds. But her body was in perfect shape. That's what God can do, even though we're suffering. Another story, Brother Hal, was he was driving down a road, and I'm getting off my lesson here, but driving. No, Brother Hal. Brother Hal was one of the most energy-driven men that I know. And almost to the place to where when he was a kid, it was almost like this is almost too much. Amen. And all of a sudden, his faith, and when things like that happen, your faith just wants to soar. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of persecution. Amen. Because all that live godly in Christ Jesus, and people that are wanting to have, Christ and not have any restrictions and not have any standards put upon them, they might say, well, you know what? The Lord is going to do that for me. But it says all that live godly. Remember, all that live godly,
yes,
amen, in Christ Jesus shall suffer,
yes,
persecution,
yes,
amen. But, oh, don't be dismayed. Our God is bigger than all your troubles and all your fears and all your sicknesses and all your diseases, amen. All the counseling that you need and all the direction that you need, amen, God is there to give it. And it's not going to always come easy. It's going to come, amen, with a great price to pay, but it will be a good price to pay. Amen. In Jesus' name.
I won't go back, can't go back to the way.